You see people bring up toxic masculinity. And a lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we're talking to young men about how you can grow and mature in your faith. And I want you to know that if you're able to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or Amazon, it could help us out a lot. We want you to download the free Fortis Plus app so that you can listen at any time. And if you're listening on Apple, we'd love for you to leave a review. Or if you're on Spotify, tap a star rating. It's just a way that we can help get the word out even more. All right, guys, here we are. We're on our second show about fighting the battle with God on your side. And last time, we heard about the courage, bravery, and then martyrdom of John Huss, who was following the authority of the Bible. He was rejected by the Roman Catholic Pope, and he was then burned at the stake. And yet we loved this tenacity, right? We loved listening to his strength and his courage. And when the flames engulfed him, he began to sing a hymn so loud and cheerful that he could be heard above the crackling of the flames and the noise of the crowd. And I asked you last time, where are the men today who would live out their faith like this? I mean, I love that section of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. It's a passionate poem written to kind of fire up men and women as we love and live our lives for Christ. Here's what a section of that Fellowship of the Unashamed says. It says this, quote, "My pace is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions few, my guide is reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, diluted, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, back up, let up, or shut up until I've preached up, prayed up, paid up, stored up, and stayed up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until he returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes." Don't you like that? I think we need some more challenge to be young men like John Huss, and then like the man that we're going to be learning about today, Micaiah. I mean, if your life was on the line, like it was for John Huss and for thousands of other martyrs like him, what would your response be? Would you stand with confidence in your Creator, or would you cower and capitulate to your captor? Is your belief in God and His Word, is that belief so strong that you find your strength bolstered by its truth, or are you so battered and bruised by the world and the ways that it influences us that you sometimes hesitate whether to be a mouthpiece for God's truth or a chameleon cantering to the world's confusion? Here we are again in a series of fighting the battle with God on your side. Big picture, we're looking at five principles from 1 Kings 22 of what to do and what not to do. Principle number one we looked at last week, do not make an alliance with the enemy, verses 1 through 4 of 1 Kings 22. And we talked about King Ahab, the king of Israel, made a bad alliance with King Ben-Hadad, who was the king of Assyria. And then King Jehoshaphat, the king of Israel, made a bad alliance with King Ahab. And that's what happens when you team up with the wrong partner. What looks like power and profit can end up being confusion and loss. Jehoshaphat and Ahab's alliance looked strategic, but as we will see, it ended up as a total disaster. Let's now move on to our second principle that will help you stand firm and fight the right battle with God on your side in the midst of tough times. Here's principle number two, inquire of the Lord. And I'm getting this through verses 5 through 12. Okay, we need to make sure we're inquiring of the Lord. I mean, Jehoshaphat's true colors are shining through here in verse 5 when he said, inquire first for the word of the Lord. And so when you need direction, don't consult the crowd, consult the Creator. I mean, we live in an age of instant answers. We don't know something, we ask Google, Siri, or that one guy at the gym who acts like he's a doctor, theologian, and financial advisor all in one. Got a rash? Ask WebMD. Got a problem at work? Ask Reddit. Need direction in your life? Ask ChatGPT, right? That's what our culture does. And so again, we're surrounded by these prophets with microphones, but that doesn't mean that they're speaking truth. And that's exactly what's happening in 1 Kings 22, 5 through 12, what we're going to look at on our show today. Ahab, he wants to go to war with Syria, and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, who was a good man, visits him, and he gets pulled into the hype. Ahab's ready for battle, and he's got like 400 prophets chanting, "Go for it, king, you'll crush it." But Jehoshaphat hesitates, and he says something wise. In verse 5, he says, "First, let's inquire of the Lord." Smart move. Problem is, Ahab already had his own echo chamber. He didn't want God's truth. He wanted God's approval for his truth. Jehoshaphat's in the middle of a crowd that sounds convincing, but not one of them is speaking for God. Sound familiar? So let's talk about it. The main point I want to say to you today, I'll give you three main points in this section, would be don't let the crowd replace your calling. Listen to 1 Kings 22, verses 5 and 6. It says, "And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, 'Inquire first for the word of the Lord.' Then the king of Israel," that's Ahab, "gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, 'Shall I go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?' And they said, 'Go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king.'" Okay? As we think about not letting the crowd replace our calling to speak for God, we got to watch out for false prophecies. False prophecies are common. In fact, Jesus talked about in the New Testament. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And I'm saying to you, these 400 prophets of Ahab that he called on them, they weren't true prophets of the Lord. They were false prophets who told Ahab only what he wanted to hear. And they all say the same thing. "Go, king, go." Sounds spiritual, looks unified, but it's fake. It's a groupthink in a holy robe. You ever get hyped into something dumb because everyone else is doing it? Maybe your buddy said, "Bro, trust me, this haircut is clean." Then you walk out of the barbershop looking like a rejected member of BTS. That's what happens when you follow the crowd instead of the call. In fact, they can't even use the covenant name Yahweh because they use a less personal name, generically Adonai. It's a good name, but it's not Yahweh, the covenant name that God made with his people. Probably demonstrating here, there's no commitment that's true to God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They couldn't even say, "Thus saith the Lord, Yahweh," but rather, "Sure, Ahab, go up against Ramoth-Gilead, and Adonai will give it to you." But Jehoshaphat knew these guys were fake. He knew. They were a bunch of phonies. And so he insisted that we need to inquire of a real prophet of the Lord, all caps. He wanted to inquire of a real prophet of Yahweh. Again, what can we learn from this? Just because everyone agrees doesn't mean God approves. Just because it sounds religious doesn't mean it's right. Don't let likes and follows outvote faith and obedience. That's what was happening here. Jehoshaphat sensed that something was off. I mean, there's like these 400 yes men that were giving a high school pep talk, but no one was speaking truth. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And if the crowd's cheering you toward it, double check who's leading the parade." Okay, let's move on to main point number two here. Inquire of God personally, not just publicly, verses 7 and 8. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here another prophet of the Lord whom we may inquire?" Remember, Ahab said, "Yeah, I got 400 guys, they're saying do it." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not somebody else who's of the Lord?" And the king of Israel, remember that's Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." So what's going on in these verses? I mean, basically Ahab is saying, there's one real prophet, but he's a hater. Let's pause right there. I mean, how often do we avoid God's word because we know it tells us what we don't want to hear? I mean, you ever keep driving your car with your check engine light on? Like you even cover it with a sticky note that says faith over fear? Ignoring warning lights doesn't fix a problem. It just delays the explosion. And that's what Ahab did. He didn't want truth. He wanted comfort. Jehoshaphat, on the other hand, said, no, I need to hear from a real prophet. I need to hear from a prophet of the Lord. Men, don't just seek advice that agrees with you. Seek the truth that corrects you. If your spiritual circle never challenges your ego, you might be hanging out with Ahab's prophets. I mean, we're not called to live by consensus. We're called to live by conviction. And if all your bros say, follow your heart, but your Bible says your heart is deceitful, guess which one's lying? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, Psalm 119:105 says. So you don't need 400 opinions when one word from God will do. And so you need to make sure that you're thinking through this, guys. We want to make sure that we are following God's truth and asking and inquiring of the Lord. And you better watch out for those false prophecies. Now, don't go away, because when you come back, we're going to continue to look at how to fight the battle with God on your side.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment. He's showing today the difference between King Ahab's 400 fake prophets and one real prophet who told the truth. See, Ahab wanted God's approval for his plans, not God's actual plan. That sounds eerily familiar, doesn't it? Because that's exactly what's happening to young men in society right now, today, surrounded by voices that tell them what they want to hear instead of what they actually need to hear. Social media algorithms feed that constantly. And the therapeutic language isn't helping either. Everyone's giving you the spiritual equivalent to participation trophies. But the real battles that people are facing, young men are facing, requires more than that. Something that breaks the pattern completely is the Master's University. See, other colleges, they create this atmosphere where students are getting affirmed for having progressive opinions. And TMU, they challenge that. They challenge students to seek the truth even when it's uncomfortable. Students learn to distinguish between voices that validate and voices that actually prepare them for reality. The Master's University is really one of the most helpful places you can send your children for 4 years. To get the conversation started, you can just go to masters.edu/manhood right now and see exactly what I'm talking about. Something else that's one of the most helpful, not just for your children, but for you as well, and that is Fortis Plus, because it's loaded with hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours of content from voices like Dr. Tyson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Greg Gifford, John Kratz, Libby Clausen. They're all creating content that helps you examine your assumptions instead of just celebrating them. You'll find content on biblical masculinity. You'll find content on spiritual warfare and discernment, content on cultural engagement and womanhood, marriage and parenting. It's all there on Fortis Plus. And guess what? It's absolutely free of charge. You just go to wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or go to fortisplus.org. Now, why it's free is because of you. That's right, men and women just like you who believe in the content we're producing at Fortis Institute so much that you want to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. If you're faithfully giving to your local church and you've got a means to still join us, then head over to fortisinstitute.org right now to get all of the answers to all of your questions. And now let's get back to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood. And I want to thank you guys for joining me today on this show. If you are following the show, make sure you leave a review on Apple or give us a star rating on Spotify and share it with another brother who needs encouragement in this area. We just want to get the word out to help as many Gen Z young men grow and mature in their faith as possible. And we're in the middle of a series on fighting the battle with God on your side. We don't want to make any alliances with the enemy, and then we want to make sure we're inquiring of the Lord. And as we're inquiring of the Lord, don't be distracted by those other opinions. Ahab had 400 opinions, but you need to listen to the word of God. In fact, watch out for the desire for affirmation. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And that's something to think about as we look at 1 Kings 22, because Ahab's response here was like, yeah, there's this one guy, but he never says anything good about me. And Jehoshaphat's response is like, let not the king say so. In other words, we need to hear this guy. This is the one guy maybe that we really need to follow. Again, the picture, 400 prophets have just finished their hype session. You've got this king. You're the man. You'll crush Syria like a toddler crushes goldfish crackers. I mean, this crowd is fired up. The smoke engines are revving. And Zedekiah got his iron horns out and he's doing the prophetic interpretive dance. I mean, it's a whole vibe. Then Jehoshaphat looks around and goes, does anyone else feel like this is too positive? You can almost hear the record scratch. The whole room freezes. Ahab is like, bro, not you too. Jehoshaphat, he's that one guy in the room who doesn't get swept up in all the hype. He can tell something's off. And so it's the same look your wife gives you guys when you say, babe, I think I can fix this myself. And then she knows maybe you need a little help, right? The problem for Ahab, he wants cheerleaders, not truth tellers. And Ahab's response with it's really one of the funniest and saddest lines in scripture. Ahab says, yeah, there's this one guy, but I hate him. He never says anything nice about me. It's like a king saying, yeah, there's this prophet, but he keeps giving me bad Yelp reviews. I mean, let's be honest. Ahab doesn't want God's truth. He wants God's rubber stamp. He wants divine affirmation for dumb decisions. He's that guy who says, I prayed about it, when he means, what he really means is, I told God my plan and asked him not to mess it up. I mean, have you ever had a friend who only calls you when he wants you to agree with him? Like he's not calling for advice, he's calling for approval. Hey, bro, I'm thinking about buying a jet ski, even though I'm broke and live in Arizona. And if you say that's dumb, he says, man, you're just negative. No, I'm just not stupid. I mean, that's Ahab. He's surrounded by these yes men, 400 of them, because truth feels so confrontational. And man, let's be real. We don't like being corrected, right? That's our pride. We like to be right. We like to feel competent. That's why we don't ask for directions, not even from Siri. But spiritual maturity begins when you stop seeking confirmation and start seeking conviction. Ahab said, I hate him because he always tells me bad news. And that's exactly how the flesh reacts to the truth. It treats correction like criticism. I mean, there's a contrast here between Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Jehoshaphat is like, let's hear from God. Ahab is like, I already have 400 people who told me what I wanted to hear. Jehoshaphat is cautious. He wants confirmation from heaven. Ahab is careless. He wants validation from humans. And this is right here. This is what separates the men from the boys, right? Wise men from foolish ones. Wise men slow down before decisions, while foolish men speed up until they crash. It's like when your buddy says, trust me, I've got this all under control. That's exactly what they say before the fire department shows up. Right? So guys, go slow, be thorough, and make sure you're inquiring of the Lord. And Paul warned Timothy about people like Ahab's prophets. 2 Timothy 4:3, Paul warns, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. I mean, that's Ahab's court. 400 prophets scratching one man's ego. And so we've got to learn from this, guys. Before you take advice, check the source. And before you listen to someone's word from God, ask, does this line up with scripture? Are just with my comfort zone. If the advice always makes you feel good, but never makes you grow, it's probably not from the Lord. So Jehoshaphat understood that, and he wanted a word that tested him, whereas Ahab wanted a word that tickled him. And only one of them lived to tell the story. And so sometimes the person that you dislike most is the one telling you exactly what you need to hear. Ahab said, I hate him. But Micaiah was the only one who could save his life. So next time God sends someone to correct you, don't block them, thank them, because that annoying truth teller might just be your Micaiah. I mean, be like Jehoshaphat. Ask for God's prophet, not the popular prophet, because the popular prophet will give you a pep talk, but God's prophet will give you a plan. Ahab called an officer. Micaiah was in jail. Where are many of the godly men found in the Bible? In jail. And we get so upset if we're threatened with some kind of persecution. While the officer is going to get Micaiah here in 1 Kings 22, we see the contrast of these two kings sitting in luxury. Zedekiah gets more bold and even made horns of iron. With these, you will gore out the Arameans. This time, his confidence turned to a full, bold-faced lie as he is convinced himself, thus saith the Lord Yahweh. I mean, when you are at a point of decision, you need to get the right counsel, right? And what we're getting to here is that verses 6 and 7 say, the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, shall I go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? And they said, go up, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king. But Jehoshaphat again, is there not someone of the Lord that we may inquire? So this is what we're talking about. Let's inquire of the Lord. Do you inquire of people who you know will tell you what you want to hear? I mean, students, those of you who have godly parents, do you inquire of them, or do you think to yourselves, they would never let me? Or parents, who do you inquire of? Men and women of the Lord want to inquire of Christ. And Jehoshaphat had said in 1 Kings 22, 5 again, inquire first of the word of the Lord. And we see that all throughout the Bible, right? That we've got to inquire of the Lord, what shall we do? And so how do we inquire of the Lord today? Well, you must turn to the word of God, which has the answers. We're talking about inquiring of the Lord and not receiving counsel from people who sound good, but they actually might be in error. And this is the last main point I want to make to you today. Be careful who you let act spiritual around you. Well, listen to verses 9 through 12. Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, bring quickly Micaiah, the son of Imlah. Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, and at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenanah, made for himself horns of iron and said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied so and said, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and triumph. The Lord will give it into the hand of the king. I mean, what is this? This is an ancient hype rally. I mean, here's the scene again. Ahab and Jehoshaphat are sitting in their royal thrones, all decked out in robes, gold, and the whole kingly vibe. And surrounding them, 400 prophets, all shouting, waving props, and declaring victory. It looks less like a prayer meeting and more like a halftime locker room. Zedekiah walks in wearing iron horns, yelling, with these you will push the enemy to death. He's basically the Old Testament version of a WWE announcer. I mean, it's loud, it's dramatic, it's confident, and it's totally wrong. Ever notice the loudest guy in the room is usually the least informed? He's like, bro, I read this one tweet about crypto, and now I'm a financial advisor. Or, trust me, I know cars, right before he puts diesel in a Prius. That's Zedekiah. He's confident, but clueless. He's loud, but not led. Confidence doesn't equal calling, and volume doesn't equal vision. These prophets weren't hearing from God. They were performing for Ahab. They were doing religious theater, hoping for a royal approval. They didn't care what the Lord said. They just wanted to sound spiritual. They prophesied so, saying, go up and triumph. That's not prophecy. That's positive thinking with biblical words. I mean, this scene reminds me of those inspirational coaches online who give advice about everything but have zero life experience. One guy says, wake up at 4 a.m., drink celery juice, and speak success over your life. And you look at him and think, bro, you still live in your mom's basement. I mean, that's what's happening here, a crowd of people pretending to have authority that they don't possess. Man, listen up. The world is full of Zedekiahs. They'll pump you up, flatter your ego, and tell you what you want to hear. Follow your heart. Do what feels right. You deserve it, King. And before long, you're spiritually hyped, but directionally lost. The devil doesn't have to get you to hate God. He just needs you to surround yourself with voices that aren't true, but voices that are speaking from the other side. And so here's the challenge. Don't confuse emotion for confirmation. Don't mistake energy for the anointing. And don't take every God told me so at face value. If it doesn't align with Scripture, it's not the Spirit. It's a skit or some other sideshow. When someone's acting spiritual but steering you into sin, remember God's truth doesn't need a hype team. I mean, Ahab had 400 prophets with horns and chants and hashtags. Jehoshaphat had one request. Can we please ask God? The crowd was confident, but only God was correct. Zedekiah may have had his iron horns, but Micaiah had iron conviction. And in the end, it's not the loudest man in the room who's right. It's the one who listened to the right voice. And so if you want to do battle with God on your side, you have to use his word. Let me pray for us as we close. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your truth. Help us to always, always, always inquire of the Lord. Thank you that you always accompany us in our battles that we might fight for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.